to enjoy life. You have one chance and you have one heart. And if you carry all that hatred in your heart, you're preventing yourself that happiness that life is all about. You should just enjoy life, enjoy what life has to offer. And for me personally, there is nothing better in life than the laughter of a child, than to be able to pay it forward and help somebody in need, to watch them find that inner spirit and inner life again. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you are tuning in. This is A Contagious Smile, where every smile tells a story, and we have got a story for you. I am so lucky today because I have this beautiful young lady named Shanti with me. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am in awe of her hair. I love her hair. I know you guys can't see it because this is only on audio, but she's absolutely just the cutest little thing ever. I have to brag about you for just a minute. You are 14. Are you about to turn 15? Or are you?
I won't turn 15 until October. So.
Oh, okay. So we're 14 and a half. And not one, not two, not three, but you've written 16 books.
Yeah.
16. Thanks for making me feel about that, babe. Appreciate it. And you have over 10 already for sale on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. That is amazing. So I'm guessing you started when you were like, what, one, two?
I started writing at a really young age, but I didn't get serious about writing and publishing until I was about 12 years old when I actually went and wrote my first novel.
So you've written that many in 2 years?
Yes.
Are you self-publishing?
I am, only because it would significantly slow me down if I were to traditionally publish, and because a lot of agents aren't going to take a 14-year-old seriously. However, when I'm older, like maybe 16 or 17, and I'll have this huge platform, I'm 100% going to try to get traditionally published.
Especially because you'll be so old. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, really, so old. So what made you decide to start writing?
It was always something I've been interested in. I have memories from when I was really young to just wanting to write. It was definitely a creative outlet for me, especially kind of that at the time went along with art, because I have really bad handwriting. And in school then, I did not have access to a computer. I mean, the school I went to for my early years of elementary school was like, no technology, do it by hand. And because of that, I think, honestly,
how developmentally. That's how we had to function, us older people. Yeah.
I think I was behind on writing a little compared to other schools because we couldn't type anything, and it was just handwriting and inventive spelling. But instead of, kind of letting that bring me down, I combined my art with writing and would use to produce these children's books that I've never published, though maybe I should rewrite them. And then by then, once I switched schools, I was able to type things, and my writing just kind of flourished from there. And then finally, about 4 years after that, I actually, no, not 4 years, 2 years after that, I started writing and publishing.
So do you do your own artwork too?
I don't. I am not a very good artist.
Who does your artwork for you?
So I have several different cover designers that do my cover art. Usually I like hiring different designers per series. However, right now I've kind of resorted to using the same designer for my dystopian novels. So I have three books, this one. This one and this one. I know you can't see them. These were all designed by the same designer. And they were designed by the same designer. And then, of course, when I do a series, I'll have those books designed by the same designer usually. And because of that, it kind of has a brand, but it doesn't, it's kind of hard to explain, but like all my books, they don't look alike. However, I feel like you can kind of see that they are by the same author. And that works for series, but for my other books, I like having kind of this individuality to them, so that like readers can kind of just see them. It's very complicated how I pick my cover designers.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
I have a twin sister.
You have a twin sister. So does she write as well?
She does, but like not to the extent that I do.
Yeah. Okay. I know I'm gonna regret asking this, and I say that facetiously. How long does it take you on average to write one of your books?
It depends. Usually it's anywhere between, 16 days to 3 months.
Wait. I don't know if that was like bad connection. Did you say 16 days?
Yes.
Girl. Oh, I'm not even going to tell you it took me 10 years to put mine out there. 10 years. That's almost longer than you've been alive.
Like, are you kidding me? Great.
So 16 Days was over the summer, and that was the first draft for The Accidental Insurgent, which is actually one of my longer novels. It's about 320 pages, and it's almost 70,000 words. And The Accidental Insurgent, it was one of my favorite to write. However, looking back on it now, it's not my favorite to kind of read over. I'm not really a big fan of it. But yes, that one took me 16 days to write the first draft of. I was writing around 4,000 to 5,000 words a day. It actually wasn't as hard as one would think. It was about an hour of writing in the morning and an hour of writing in the evening. And before I known it, I noticed, like, before I knew it, really, I just had it done. And it was very surprising to me. But yeah, that remains me my quickest time for writing. Right now, the one I'm working on right now is taking me like 2 months. And I'm worried it's going to take me even longer than that.
Woe is me. So what happens if you're out and about somewhere and you get an idea to write? What do you do?
Usually I pull out my phone and I have this whole document just on my notes app of new book ideas. And I come up with these really corny titles for them because usually before I start writing a book, I won't know the title. And I just, you know, write this little, maybe one paragraph, one sentence blurb of what I want it to be about. And then usually I never look at it again. However, I've had a couple ideas right now that I've gotten randomly and I'm really, really into them. So once I'm done with the book I'm writing right now, I want to do them.
Okay. Let me just keep adding on to my how old I am. Do you know who James Patterson is?
I do.
Okay. Good. I did what's called a master class with James Patterson. And I was just in awe of him because I don't know if you know this, but he doesn't type any of his work. He hand writes. Okay. Now we're seeing, he hand writes everything. And he was like, when I go to dinner with my wife or anything that way, I take my like napkin and I write on the napkin and then I take it home. And then he says, I use legal pads and write everything out. And I give it to my assistant. She types it up. And he was like, I don't do anything on a computer. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, this is James Patterson, right? What?
I gotta tell you, I can't even handwrite a page. I have really bad handwriting. So, like, usually my hand will really, really hurt. I never actually knew why. I have my joints are really just not attached. So I can do weird things with my hands. And then because of that, it just hurts really bad to handwrite anything. So I can't imagine doing that.
I know. And he writes some big time books. Like, every time you turn around, he's got another one out. I think he might be quicker than you, which is kind of amazing.
Probably.
So you've written all of these amazing books, and do you even have time for any hobbies? What do you do in your free time besides designing amazing hairstyles?
I have a few hobbies. Well, I feel like the obvious one is reading. However, that's just a given. Like, I feel like every writer reads a fair amount. Other than that, I enjoy skateboarding. I had to stop for a while because, again, I get hurt very easily, and also I was getting very, really tired, and the skate park got overcrowded, but I'm really looking to get back into it. But like, that was something I would go, and it usually was after I'd write. And in the evening, I would just go and I would go to the skate park after the lights were off, which was a very dangerous idea. However, I got a flashlight and I would have one of my parents shine the flashlight and I would just learn to skate. And for a while it was really, really fun. And it just got to the point where I had like too much schoolwork and writing and I was just really tired and I kept falling and I decided to stop for a while. However, I'm going to get back into it. Other than that, I do free writing, which is another activity that I've gotten hurt quite a bit in. And that's like a combination between parkour and gymnastics. So like, think backflips and front flips and jumping from building to building. I don't do that. I'm not that reckless.
I was going to say, wow, my goodness. So do you get mad when you write a paper for school and you get anything less than an A+?
Sometimes. It depends on the paper. Like, there are some papers I've written, I'll be like, oh yeah, I knew that one was not going to
Right, but don't you want to go to the teacher and put your book on the desk and be like, hey, look what I got. I'm published. So I want to touch on a subject for just a minute that is, I think, something that my younger listeners would definitely relate to, before we go back into the fun of writing, is that you and your sister, unfortunately, and I'm so sorry I had to experience this, went through some bullying at school. Can you tell us about it?
So in the sixth grade, we got bullied really, really, really badly to the point where I don't want to call it bullying anymore. I think it was, but it was also just, it was completely horrifying. Just not something that anyone should ever go through. Right. And because of that, we were left absolutely horrified and distraught, and we were left without justice from our school's administration. barely anything was done to the person who had done it. They were given about, I believe, one day in school suspension for things that should have gotten them expelled and could have gotten them in jail if it was anywhere else.
What happened? Can you tell us about it? Can you give us the cliff notes if you're not comfortable talking about it?
So let me see. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it without getting a little rated R here. There was an event in which they said they were going to kill me and did something that could have killed me.
What?
Yeah. And
did
I don't
you get hurt?
Not terribly. I got away. So it's in the book, You Won't Know Her Name, in which they were like, I'm going to kill you. And then they choked me and they did it hard enough and for long enough that I could have passed out, except I got away and ran and told someone. And there were some other very just kind of, I don't know if I want to say like rated R kind of incidents in which this person put their hands on someone where they should not have been. And I'm trying to figure out a way to explain that that's not going to terrorize your younger listeners.
When you tell them not to put your hands on you, you shouldn't have anybody else's hands on you. There you go.
Yeah. So because of that, like, we went and we told the administration all of this, and there were a lot of very abusive comments too, like, oh, you know, kill yourself, or just a lot of swearing.
Why are they going after you guys?
I don't know. I could never figure out. It was, I'm trying to explain the dynamic. I only kind of know how to explain it from, because I read a book about it and it's my most popular book. It was this, we were in the friend group with them and they were very much like at the top.
I'm
of the
sorry, they were in your circle?
Yeah, they had these kids in their circle and they kind of, it was like they wouldn't let us leave and they wouldn't let us kind of tell anyone what they were doing. And in that friend group, there were a lot of really horrifying things going on. So for example, they taught everyone in the group how to harm themselves. They taught us, there was, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. They forced us to watch, and I refused to, I like looked away. They forced us to watch very explicit material. And like we went, I have evidence of a lot of this. We went to the school and we told them this is going on. It's happened to more than one person. And my school administration's response to this was, it's just middle school. It happens all the time.
No, ma'am. I'm your parents.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Are you still at that school?
My sister isn't. I am. I stayed because I wanted to make a change at the school and I wanted to stop this from happening because we have a serious problem at our school where things like this have happened to more than one person. And this isn't technically a public school. People can get expelled from the school. It's not like, oh, there's nowhere else they can go. And so I stayed because, you know, we have a huge problem at our school, specifically with sexual assault, I'm just gonna say it. And this is a middle school. And we have a serious problem with this, and no one is doing anything. And
good,
like,
for you. And you know what? I have a pretty nice sized platform, and I will make sure we get this out there for everyone, and we will try to do what we can to help too. What would you like to do, and how would you like to see change done? What do you think should be changed at school?
So what I'm hoping is that we need to believe people. We need to take this more seriously and we need to have teachers watching more. And also we need to expel people and we need to kind of handle the problems very quickly. I'm actually, school's almost over for me and my school ends on June 23rd for me. So I will no longer be at that school. And I am hoping that I will have left a mark on the school that like my administration will remember me and they will make a change. And I'm not sure if they know that I wrote a book detailing almost everything. And I hope if they do, they read it. And I hope they feel bad. And I hope they actually realize that they messed up and they need to make a change.
Have you thought about giving your book to the principal on the last day of school and say?
I have. It's interesting because it's like I don't exactly hate her. And it's more the vice principal that's really, really horrible about this. My principal has done a lot to disappoint us too and has said a lot of things that are really disappointing. So I hope that she learns her lesson and I hope that she can understand this is like not all right. And I think she does a little. However, saying
Not
you
enough.
understand something and actually doing something is different. I have definitely thought about giving it to her. What's very funny is I got voted most likely to be a best-selling author, and in my photo for my yearbook, I'm holding the
What's the name of this book?
book. You won't know her name.
You won't know her name.
Yes.
Wow. I would give one to the principal and the vice principal. That's what I would do. And
I'm
just
very
say,
tempted to.
would you like me to sign it for you?
Oh, that's a good idea. I gotta do that. What's pretty funny is my entire class knows about it. And they're very, very vocal about knowing about it. So there was an instance where the vice principal came walking in our classroom, and one of my best friends had the book on her de or their on their desk. And they went and they showed the vice principal and said, "Hey, have you read this book?" And the vice principal was like, "No, I haven't." And it was very funny because like she saw my name on the book. And I'm sure she thought it wasn't gonna be anything good. It's
I would tell them, say, I think we should have it in our school library.
a good idea, actually. I've thought about putting in there because our school, we have this bookshelf and it's in the hall and it's open to anyone. I've just thought about like sneakily leaving the book in there and, waiting for someone to find it.
Now, is this individual, we will call them, that did this unheard of event still at school with you? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. What happened to zero tolerance for bullying?
It's zero tolerance until someone's actually getting bullied, and then it's like, you get 100 chances, and then, if you use them all, you get 100 more, because, it's just middle school, so in middle school, kids can make mistakes. I kid you not, this is the kind of stuff that I've heard at my school.
Use my platform, my dear, and you say whatever it is that you want to say. And not only will it be in the podcast, but I will do a little excerpt of it and I will put it out there. I don't know if you get a minute and you go on. Now I feel like you might not know any of these people. You go on to our YouTube channel. Have you ever watched, all these shows might be too old for you, The Blacklist?
Think so.
Oh, okay, strike one. Have you watched Prodigal Son or Scandal?
I've heard of them.
Never mind. What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to like a lot of sad music, and then I have like I don't know, I listen to Imagine Dragons a lot. That's not sad. That's just kind of pop and rock. And then I really, really love Tom O'Dell's music. And I actually saw him in concert and I got to meet him, and believe it or not, I was very bold and I gave him the book. And I was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, like your music really helped me write this book. So here you go."
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, that's stroke metal. I don't know what I can tell you because I was gonna like name drop and I can't do that with you, so it doesn't help. Anyway, use this platform. Tell me how you want to make changes in the schools and how we need to help students become safer and being able to obtain their education. They shouldn't have to worry about all of this stuff that's happening in the schools. It makes me hurt. It makes me sad. It makes me mad. I can't imagine. You guys going to school and having that happen is so out of reach for me when it comes to imagining myself in that situation as a young adult trying to obtain their education. So tell me what you would say to whomever we could get this in front of.
I think that bullying is a problem that happens in far too many schools. And basically, in so many schools, kids fear violence and they fear being harmed at school. And that is not okay. I've gone to school every day afraid that something is going to happen to me and that this person's going to do something to me. And it's not okay. And we need to actually believe the victims. And very often, what people will say is, "Oh, well, the bully must have been bullied. They only did it because they were harmed by someone." Except we cannot make excuses when they are harming someone else. That is my opinion, and that is just what I believe, that if someone is being harmed and they are the victim, we have to look into it. I don't know. It's possible they did something first. However, we have to make sure that everyone is safe.
That does not give them the right under any reason whatsoever for them to come and do it to someone else.
Exactly.
Absolutely not. I hate that you have to go to school in fear. I hate that you have to go and worry about what's going to happen. Do you see this individual all the time at school?
I do. They're not in my class. However, I
What?
do see them every day.
And what happened with your sister? The same thing happened to her?
Precisely, yeah.
And how is she handling all this now?
Honestly, better than I am. She left the school, and I'm very proud of her for that. I honestly wonder if I should have. My school is, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it because I can't name drop the school without getting sued. But I go to a school that is very popular in my area and has strong marketing, and it's a charter school. So, however, this school is not what they claim it is. And I wanted to stay because I wanted to make a change, because I do, honestly, I did like the school, and I feel like if this person wouldn't have been there, the school would be a decent place. I think there are some problems with the academics and stuff, but that is not nearly as important as what's going on within our school. And I think that basically a change needs to be made, and I know I'm leaving in about a month, so I really need hope they'll keep on my legacy and what I've been trying to build. And I know, I think other schools have this problem too. We hear it so much, except it doesn't have to be a problem.
Right.
The school I am going to, which again, I can't name because
we're not asking.
But the school I'm going to has, especially for sexual assault, and this is a high school, they have actually a poster in the bathroom that lists things and lists what you can do and what they will do if something is to happen. And our school needs that. I don't care that it's a middle school. If it's going on, then it needs one.
Yes, absolutely it does. I'm so proud of you because you're doing such an amazing job and you're standing up for what you believe in. Kudos to you, because a lot of people would have been too scared to step up and use their platform and their voice, which you are doing. And that's amazing. So amazing job there. So if you had a message to all of the kids who are bullies, what would you say to them?
Honestly, it's kind of silly, but stop. Realize, like, I get that for some bullies, maybe it's hard to realize what they're doing and what they're doing is hurting someone. However, you need to realize that if there are people that are hurting because of you, and if you are, you know, getting in trouble at school, and if something's happening, think about other people and put yourself in the person's shoes before, you know, it's happening. And if you wouldn't want it to be done to you, don't do it.
And what would you say to the people who may not have found their voice like you have just yet and are going through what you went through?
First off, if you are going through bullying, get away from the situation. For me, it was like I felt trapped in the situation, but looking back on it now, like, I kind of understand like more what was going on than what I did when I was 12 and 11. And I think,
so long ago.
Yeah. You just get out of the situation. Distance yourself from a person if they're making you uncomfortable, and tell someone about it, whether it's an adult, a coach, a teacher, a relative, an older sibling. Just tell someone that, like, this is going on and you need help. And if that person does not give you a satisfying response, tell someone else.
What are the hardest things being a young lady like yourself these days? On an everyday basis, what are your hardest trials and tribulations you have to go through?
A lot of it, I mean, I could say it's like not even bullying anymore, but there's a lot of stuff I could say.
The floor is yours.
Well, I mean, just in general, being a teenage girl, I want to say is like harassment. I've been hit on before by adults.
Wait, what?
I have had adults have done me before, and it's very uncomfortable, and I think it is something that I'm sure it has happened to teenage boys too, but it's just something I think of instantly, is like having kind of adults, you know. It's happened, honestly, it was like one time, but
right,
I still remember
it was still one time.
Scary. I was at a concert, and I was talking to my mom, and I think she asked me, like, do you need water? And I said, no, I'm fine. And this guy, like, looks me dead in the eyes, like, you are fine. And then we were just trying to order our food, right? And he followed us to the, like, food area and was, like, sitting there, like, trying to talk to me. My mom was, like, right there, too. And what makes it even worse is I dressed really nice, so I did kind of look like an adult. Adults were supposed to have wristbands. And I had my hands on the table, and I did not have one.
You're like, hello.
I was like, and then later I went to the bathroom, and he followed me to the bathroom. And I just called one of my friends, and I pretended to be on the phone, and he went away.
What are the trials that you guys are experiencing on a daily basis besides bullying in school?
Honestly,
Is there like a lot of peer pressure to do certain things?
Oh, 100%.
Like what?
I've been pressured to do drugs and stuff like that before. I've never
done
it.
You were in middle school.
No. I've been basically pressured to do like so much stuff. Very recently, actually, I had an ex-friend now, and they would pressure my entire friend group to kiss them, and I did not. And it was just, honestly, that has to be a struggle. It was, they made a lot of really inappropriate comments and said, actually pretty much made threats of violence towards the school, which is now seriously being looked into. And like, I mean, that's a serious problem too.
Yes. This is only, this is middle school.
Literally.
And you know what? You are so brave. I don't know if you really know it or you see it, but I'm looking at such a brave, wonderful young lady. And I mean that. I totally mean that because you are sticking up for those that may not feel comfortable enough sticking up for themselves. You are trying to leave a legacy at your school because of the wrongdoings that have been done to you and your sister. You are like a force to be reckoned with. You should be so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
I'm serious. That is amazing that you are just taking that stance that you're not going to take it. You're not going to be, you know, pushed around that way. That is really, I really, truly hope you're so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Because you should be. That's amazing.
It's honestly hard because sometimes I feel bad because I'm pretty sure I know my school administration, like, especially my principal, thinks I hate her and has said that. And it feels really bad because I don't want to make someone else feel bad, even though they should.
They need to do their job.
Yeah.
Their job, like, as an adult is to protect you and let you get your education.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to go to school and worry about your physical safety. Like, I hear these things. I homeschool my child because of so many of these reasons, but like, I know when I say this, you're going to go, what? But when I was in school, like, we played dodgeball. You guys don't get to do that stuff. You know, we never worried about in school, like, some of the stuff that you guys are going through every single day. And it's just frightening.
Yeah.
You guys are having to grow up on so many different levels so much faster because of the things that are given to you.
It's honestly like crazy to me. So next year I'm going to an even bigger school. I'm actually just going to go to a public school next year. But again, it's a very well-regarded school in our area. And it's like known for being really inclusive and accepting and actually like having like barely any bullying, which I'm very glad about, but I'm also very scared.
And your sister's going with you?
Yes.
Awesome. Are y'all identical?
We're fraternal. So I don't know where she is. But if you saw us together, there's a chance you wouldn't know we were twins. Yeah, in sixth grade, actually, there were a lot of people that thought we were just best friends that, like, went home with each other, like, every day and just hung out all the time. And they didn't
realize. Are you guys close?
We are.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Who's older?
Me by 1 minute.
There you go. So tell us now, you are going to do more book writing. What is the newest, most amazing upcoming book you're writing?
So the one I'm writing right now, oh, it needs a lot of work. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. It has so much going on. It's basically this science fiction-esque magical school for like talented writers. And then except them, and it has like all these different aspects to it. But then the main character, like, they don't actually like to write. Just her parents are like famous writers that she got into the school. And then her characters start coming to life and begging her, and they start begging her to finish the story. It's very complicated, and it's very, like, I ought to reread it a bunch of times and edit it and make sure it all makes sense. Other than that, my next release is a book called Never Dying. It's this. It is the best book I've ever written. I don't know how long it's going to be before I write a book better than it. It has so much to it that makes it so good. And it's like just my favorite. And it's
actually, how long did it take you to write it?
2 months, maybe.
I'm crying. Do you see the tears? you see these tears? Oh my goodness, child. 2 months. How many pages is it?
I have to check. I thought it was 430. It's 427, but that doesn't like include the prologue. So it's like 430.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I don't want to know what you want to do when you grow up, because I already know you're going to be like the next James Patterson.
Yeah.
I mean, you are. I guarantee you're probably there before your senior in high school. If somebody wrote a book about your life and then it came into a movie, who would you want to play you?
That's a good question. I've thought about this quite a bit, mainly because I was trying to come up with fan casts for You Won't Know Her Name, which proved to be very hard. I don't know why. I don't know many actors that look like me. However, all my friends think I look like Eleven from Stranger Things season 2. And honestly, I did look it up. I kind of see the resemblance to me in like maybe 2020 and then Eleven. So like Millie Bobby Brown in season 2. And I actually do see it. So if she were still 14, that would be a pretty good role. However, I believe she's almost an adult now. So
who are the I know that a lot of the kids ask me this all the time. Who are the guys and girls that everybody in Hollywood think is just the it person right now?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know why my instant thought was Timothée Chalamet. I think I've seen one of his movies. He's just an actor.
I have no idea who this is.
I gotta tell you, I don't know either. I probably could name more actors that were in like movies my parents watched than actors now. I don't know.
What's
I know
your
like
all-time favorite movie.
Rogue One, maybe, what? Or The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Rogue One was it's a Star Wars movie, and it's like the one where I don't want to spoil it, but it's been out for almost 5 years. It's the one where like everyone died. Yeah, it's been out for 5 years, so don't get mad at me. And I watched it in the theater when I was like 9, and neither my dad and I or I had any idea that that was going to happen, and it was both traumatizing and very funny. So I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I'm probably going to stay up till midnight tonight to watch the Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
Okay, I'm going to ask. Give me your favorite. I'm afraid to, because Shantae, I just think you're going to say something that I don't see that way, but give me your all-time favorite old movie, like a movie you're like, oh, this is an older movie, I love it. It's gonna be probably one of my favorites that I'm like, that's not an old movie.
Oh, I have to think. I've watched a lot of old movies with my parents. I mean, if I just say, you know, 1937 Star Wars.
Hey, that's way old. Let's go. That's way out there old. Let's bring it in a little bit. Not that old.
I mean, oh gosh. Maybe, I mean, I would say The Perks of Being a Wallflower, but that came out in 2012. So
yeah, that's
not
newer.
That old. So like 90s?
Yeah, 90s. 80s, 90s.
I feel like I know I have some that I really, really like. Can I remember them? No.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious. And I know a lot of the younger adults that I work with have their little checkoff list. What would be your favorite color?
Pink, maybe? Like hot
favorite
pink. I don't know
food?
Why. Just bacon or artichokes and bacon.
Artichokes and bacon.
Yeah, not combined, but okay. Actually, that wouldn't be too bad. Like combined.
I was going to say, could that be bad? Strangest meal if you could create one.
I mean, last night, I don't know how strange this is. It just kind of. I chopped up garlic, I chopped up onions and then put whole cloves of garlic and like fried them with like oil and a bunch of salt and then ate it. And it was actually really good.
My son, my stepson, I consider him my son, had, you have to imagine this. So he had 2 pieces of bread, turkey, mayonnaise, pepperoni pizza, and potato chips, and then squished it all together, and he actually ate it.
That sounds oddly good. Maybe without the mayonnaise?
What? Really? Because I took pictures. I'm like, are you really going to eat that? And he's like, oh. And he did. And I was like, oh. No, he thought it was great. I mean, just some other things. What is your guilty pleasure of snacks?
Definitely just like really like unhealthy chips or something. Cause like usually I'm not allowed much junk food. I still, oh my gosh, I eat a lot of junk food. I sneak it, or I'll beg my parents to buy it whenever I'm in the store, and they'll say yes. And, or like I'll be at school, and my school right now is not too far from 7-Eleven, so there's a whole shopping center like maybe half a mile away from my school. So I just walk there sometimes after school, and there are like the 7-Eleven has like all the chips. So sometimes I'll just go and I'll just buy a bunch.
What's your favorite sport?
Fencing. I used to do fencing. So I used to live in Los Angeles, and when I did, I went to this really good fencing studio, and I fenced for like a few years, and it was just really fun. And then when we moved, I had to switch to this like Olympic fencing studio, and it was on the pre-Olympic team, and I did not like it very much.
Wait, you were going to be on the, you were in the
Not
pre-Olympics?
probably not. It was like for kids that wanted to be in the Olympics. I just was not ready for it. I was having a ton of fun just fencing when I was in LA, and then actual competitive fencing. And all these kids like genuinely wanted to be on the Olympics. Like I wouldn't be surprised if in like 2 or 3 years I saw some of them on it. And it was just so intense. It was like an hour and a half too. It was very brutal. And I just could not do
Favorite author, not you. You to be.
Definitely, Leigh Bardugo. I don't know if you know her books or not. She wrote like Shadow and Bone and Six of Crows. I've read pretty much all of her books. I really want to go to one of her book signings. She was actually doing an event in LA, and I had plans to go because I go back and I visit like LA all the time, and I really wanted to go, and we just couldn't get tickets in time. But there's a bookstore in San Diego, and I really hope she goes there just because I have a book signing there coming up. And
Wow.
yeah.
So, who is your biggest supporter? Who supports you the best?
Probably my parents.
Yeah, they sound pretty amazing.
They are.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, if you could leave us with any message, what would it be?
I am not sure. It depends on who the message is for. I mean, generally for like young writers, because that's usually a big one. Never give up. I'm actually thinking of starting a YouTube channel with all of my writing tips, especially for young writers, because what people realize is yes, it's difficult to write a book, but your age does not define how difficult it can be. Of course, there are things like time, but really, it's not that hard. And I think that if you are motivated enough and you just write the same amount every day, you can write a book.
In like an hour, right?
Yeah, I kind of want to try to write like at least I think writing a novel in a day would be insane, but like a novella in a day, so it'd be like 20,000 words. That wait, never mind. That would have to stay up for 20 hours to do that. Okay, I don't know.
Do you use any programs when you're doing your writing on your computer?
So I use Readzy, which is just a website to write my books. I used Google Docs actually for Never Dying, and I gotta say, I didn't hate it. Usually, I don't use Google Docs because it starts lagging after a while. However, I'm honestly wondering if maybe I should try to use it again because
Yeah.
I'm
And who
thinking
did
of
you say you're
writing
using now? I'm sorry.
Readzy. It's actually it doubles as like there's a blog where you can get a bunch of writing tips. It's also a marketplace to like hire editors and cover designers. So I've hired one of my cover designers from there, and honestly, I just really love it. The typesetter, it's a typesetter, and you can write on it. It's very helpful. It has a lot of really cool features, like you can see how long it would take someone to read your book, and literally how many paragraphs your book is, and you can do it by chapter too. And it's also tracks like how much you write every single day, and you can set goals to see how much you need to write before you hit your goal.
So if any
And
of our listeners want it, is there like a monthly fee for it
no, it's
or,
free.
and spell the name of it for me?
Reedsy. And you can format your books on there. I actually don't. I use Vellum just because there are more formatting options, so it's a little easier. However, Reedsy is constantly updating their formatter. So at some point, I might just switch to it because it's free and Vellum is not.
Yes, I got that. Well, I want to thank you so much because you have been an absolute delight and you're amazing and your voice is being heard by so many. And I want to thank you for taking your evening to hang out with me, this old person here. Thanks so much. And every smile tells a story and you have a beautiful, brilliant story. And I want to thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Of course.